I'm going to invite Ian to come up. He has a word for us. And on the back of everything else God's done already, I'm excited to hear this. Thanks, Ian. Can I pray for you?
Yeah.
Lord God, I thank you for my brother Ian. And I thank you for who he is in you, who you've made him, Lord. And I thank you for the word that you've given him. I pray that it would flow freely from his lips this morning, that you would speak and continue to speak to us, Lord. We are hungry to hear more from you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ben. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Wow. Goodness, hey. Follow that, as they say, eh? Cool, there's a challenge. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about perspective. Many times, I don't know about you, but many times we find reality is beyond our comprehension. We don't understand what's going on. We find ourselves in difficult situations where we're called to persevere, as Gail spoke about last week, and recognise our perspective is limited. Well, haven't we just seen a little bit of God's perspective compared to ours just now, and what Julie shared? I mean, that's just amazing. The familiar scripture that reminds us of the different perspective we have compared to God is found in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. And in Luke 18, verse 27, Jesus says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. So I was thinking about our limited perspective compared to God's perspective. And I was considering what we can do to help us in such situations and what we can do to gain insight into God's perspective. And I remembered a situation where, at least visually, perspective was severely limited during the journey I took. So I thought I would take you on that journey and see what we can learn from the tools that I had to help me with my limited perspective until revelation came. In the past, I had a private pilot's license. I've still got the license, but it's lapsed now. On the 23rd of November 2013, I met with two friends, two other pilots, Colin, not that Colin, but another Colin, and John, as we planned a flight from Carlisle Airport to Fife Airport in Glenrothes. That's a picture of the airport there, where we were going. The weather was marginal, a bit iffy. We were wondering whether or not to take the flight. But after careful consideration and checking what the weather in Fife was like, we set off in our little four-seater aircraft that we'd hired with me at the controls flying towards Fife. It was very cloudy. It soon became apparent that flying visually, as in using the horizon landmarks, etc., under the cloud was going to be pretty miserable. It was low cloud, and if you're flying close to cloud, it's very turbulent, it's very bumpy, and it's horrible. And you've got hills to negotiate, and you're trying to fit between the cloud and the hill, and not great. So, we made the decision to fly up into the cloud to try and get above it to clearer, smoother air. Now, I should emphasise that this is not something you do unless you're trained to do it, because you need quite substantial additional training to fly in cloud, because it's incredibly disorientating. I've been trying to fly on instruments to cope with this, as had Colin, who was sat next to me, so we thought, yeah, we should be all right, we'll give it a go. And that's the reduced perspective that we had. Because if you fly in cloud, you can see nothing outside the cockpit. As a pilot, your instructor will always tell you when flying visually, what are you doing looking down there? Look out there. Look out there. Watch your horizon. Look where you're going. What's going on? Situational awareness, it's called. Well, within the cockpit, within cloud, your situational awareness, other than relying on some of the tools that were given, is limited to the cockpit. And you have to rely on instruments, and you have to rely on them totally, because you have such limited perspective on your situation. And this allows you to continue safely towards your destination until your visual perspective improves. And I'd like to use this as an illustration to our limited perspective compared to God's, and how we can use the tools that God gives us to continue our journey with Him, seeking His perspective and revelation through the Holy Spirit. So the first thing we have to look at is the route. The route was planned beforehand, and that's what we need to follow. Sometimes a diversion is necessary due to weather and so on, but this often is the result of poor planning, like the closure of airspace due to military exercises, and you haven't read the information before you set off. Or you've not checked things properly, like you haven't checked your fuel level and you didn't run out of gas. But we didn't need to do that. God has plans for us from the beginning of time. Our route for our lives. We can deviate from that route, but He will ultimately bring us home. For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being, and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. And 1 Corinthians 2, for as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. So, number one, stick to the route. Number two, direction indicator. Gyro compass, if you like. This shows the heading you're on and needs to be set correctly and followed in accordance with your planned flight. This is actually incredibly difficult without a point of reference, because normally you would set your direction, you find something that's in the right direction, I don't know, church or something like that, and you fly towards it. You can't do that in cloud because you can't see. So you have to check it regularly to make sure you're not off course. If you constantly fly 1 degree off your planned heading for 60 miles, you'll be a mile off course at the end. So it's pretty critical. And of course, we need to follow the correct heading in our Christian journey by keeping our eyes on Jesus all the time. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. GPS. The primary instrument for showing where you actually are is the GPS system. And this uses a source of information beyond the Earth, relies on satellites. The GPS provides us with a wider perspective. All three of us had our own GPS systems to make sure we weren't going to get lost. After all, in an aircraft, you can't stop and ask them for directions, can you? As Christians, we have a source of guidance for us beyond the earth. And that's what we call the Bible. Understanding God's word and applying it to our lives is key to having the right attitude and perspective in our lives. Scripture is the inspired word of God, who is beyond this world. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It was interesting, I thought, that each pilot brought his own GPS system, so we had three systems. We were determined not to get lost. They all show similar information, but in a slightly different way, based on the same source, much like different versions of the Bible. Attitude indicators. Some people will know that as artificial horizon, but its official name is attitude indicator. The attitude indicator is key. It's the primary display for instrument flying and shows whether the aircraft is climbing or falling, or banking one way or the other. When flying in cloud, it is vital to maintain the correct aircraft attitude using the instruments and not based on our senses or feelings. When I was learning to fly on instruments, this was brought home to me very early on when the instructor said to me, right, we're all set up now, the aircraft is trimmed, fly straight and level. Straight line, level, don't turn. So we set that up and then he said, close your eyes. After about 2 minutes or so, we opened up my eyes. He said, right, open your eyes. Okay, now what's going on? I was reasonably level. I hadn't changed much in height, but I was about 90 degrees off course. And the reason was, he said, you can't help it. One arm, it was a yoke, not a joystick, and one arm will pull down slightly more than the other, and you just won't realise it. And you won't feel the turn, because it's a constant turn. If you're turning constantly, you don't feel it. So it showed how important it is to have the right attitude. We can't always rely on our senses or feelings to give us the right information. In our Christian journey, our attitude is so important. Whatever we face, and however well or poorly we understand our situation, we need to keep the right attitude, independent of how we feel. The key attitude we need to adopt is one of love. Love God and love our neighbour. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Altimeter. This shows the height of the aircraft above sea level. During flight planning, it is vital to determine what's called the minimum safe altitude. This takes into account ground structures like hills and mountains, and man-made obstacles like TV masts and wind turbines. Because if you fly into one of those, it's going to ruin your day. It's vital to stay sufficiently clear from such worldly obstacles. In our Christian life, it is also important to stay sufficiently clear of worldly obstacles. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that's good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Sorry, I've got a little typo there. Just checking. Radio. The radio is used for communication with air traffic control to gain a wider perspective on other aircraft, what the weather is doing, what the weather is forecast to do, what it's like at the destination. They will respond, and their information is trustworthy and reliable. You can clearly see the destination you are headed for. And I liken the radio and air traffic control to prayer. Although, just to make it abundantly clear, air traffic control is not God, despite what they may tell you. We can pray to God to reveal through His Spirit His perspective on our situation and give us revelation. We ask in faith, knowing that God hears and will respond and is completely trustworthy and reliable. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Not maybe, will be. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Airspeed indicator. It's very important to maintain the correct airspeed, vital to ensure that it's high enough to provide adequate lift for the wings and avoid the wing stalling and the aircraft suddenly losing height. In the same way, it's important for us to remain in step with Jesus, not going ahead of his plans or lag behind, but remain in step with him. Keeping in step means total submission to Jesus and yielding our lives fully to him by depending on the Holy Spirit within us. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So after about 15 minutes flying up through the dense cloud, we broke through at about 5,000 feet into bright sunshine. Our perspective improved. We could see much further, but still couldn't see the ground, because you couldn't see through the cloud. Only bright blue sky above and white fluffy cloud below. All the instruments are still very important. A short while later, we reached the coast. This is an internet image. We were too busy flying to take photographs. Just as we hit the coast, we cleared the cloud and the full expanse of the Firth of Forth was revealed with an amazing view of the two bridges. I can count, there's three now. There's only two when we did. Off to our left. We now had full perspective of where we were and our destination could clearly be seen. I liken this to Holy Spirit revelation in our Christian journey. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So we flew over the Firth of Forth and turned left to land safely at Glenrothes Airfield, where we had a fantastic lunch before Colin took over and did all this again, flying us back home. And just to prove it, I was actually there. So I hope this has shown that our thoughts are not naturally God's thoughts, and our perspective is different and limited. But we can gain some of God's perspective in the ways I've mentioned, by keeping our attitude one of love, irrespective of our feelings, keeping our eyes on Jesus, studying his word, praying for revelation, not conforming to the world, keeping in step with Jesus as we follow his plans for our lives. As our relationship with him through Jesus deepens, we see God's perspective more clearly. This will help us gain truer understanding of our situation and circumstances, his desires and plans for us, and help guide our decisions. I'd like to finish by praying over us the words of Paul's prayer for spiritual wisdom for the church in Ephesus. Paraphrase slightly, because I've said us, not you. From Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. I pray that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Ian. That was great. Such rich sort of perspectives there. I don't know about you, but I felt this morning, you know, after Ian had said that we had those moments this morning, didn't we, when we saw everything, we saw the bridge, we saw the land, we saw something of that beautiful clarity of where God's taking us and what he's doing, but there is cloud, isn't there? And we encounter that, don't we, in our lives as we go out from here, and this can maybe feel like that moment where we see everything clearly and then get back in that plane, but he's with us. He's beside us in the cockpit, and he ultimately is the author and finisher of our faith. So let's just pray to close. Just a quick reminder that the offering baskets are at the back and at the front. Like an aeroplane, aren't they? Offering baskets here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you that all you wanted to do today was bring good into our lives and good things. And thank you that your Holy Spirit within us cries out, Abba Father, good Father. Let us not be fearful to enter into your presence, Lord, and the things you have for us, because they're good and you are good. And we proclaim that to the powers of darkness. You are good, Lord. Thank you so much for today. We want to place ourselves in your hands, knowing that we're already there, but acknowledging that as we go into this week ahead, Lord. Thank you that you go before us. Thank you that you're with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.